Access number 29047, Mr. Len Townend, Rail 1. Can you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Townend?
The 28th of November, 1924.
And
born in 13 Beaver Street, Melton Mowbray, Leicestershire.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background, to give us an idea of sort of family and your childhood?
Well, I lived in Beaver Street from the time I was born up until the time I joined the RAF. My father looked after me there. I had a housekeeper. My mother died when I was 2 or 3 years old, so I never knew my mother. I had two sisters, both of which went out to service halfway through my lifetime.
Now, what did your father do for a living?
He was an iron moulder at the old ironworks in Aspenby, or rather Aspenby Hill.
Now, was that steady employment? I mean, was he in?
Oh, yes, he was in it all the time. I mean, he had a couple of times, I remember, during the 1930s when he was out of work, like a lot of people were, and we suffered the means test and one or two things like that, but to me, like, you know, I don't remember much about it, except I do remember things happening like that.
Now, how comfortable at the time did you have then? I mean, how, you know, relative to other people, was it just sort of...
Well, it was an extremely good job. It was hard work. It was a good job. He used to keep pigs and chickens and things like that. Had a big allotment very nearby. Kept that, grew most of his vegetables. And it was a good working class environment. There was nothing posh about it. We didn't have motor cars and that. It was just... I was quite happy as a kid. I thought it was a great life, but that's it.
Now, tell us a bit about your education.
I went to all state schools, or if they called them state schools in those days, in Melton Mowbray. I first went to the infant school on Thorpe Road in Melton Mowbray. I then went to the primary school on Aspenby Road, Melton Mowbray. And then I went to the secondary modern in King's Road, Melton Mowbray. And that was it.
Now, how did you do at school? The secondary modern, really.
Average. I wasn't, there's no doubt, I was not above average. The best way I can put it in a nutshell is that I almost went to the grammar school. But my dad couldn't afford to go to the grammar school, but you could win a scholarship. And if you got an A1 pass, you almost certainly went to scholarship. I got an A3 pass, which some years would have meant I'd have gone to the grammar school, but there were too many of them, so I dipped out, so I didn't go to grammar school. I finished school when I was 14. That was the normal age in those days.
Now, what were your favourite subjects at the secondary mod?
Don't think I had any. I hated school.
Why did you hate it?
I don't know. It probably had to do with the fact that in those days most working class kids hated school. We wanted to get a job and earn some money. Or not so much earn some money for the family, because it was necessary. But I had absolutely no subjects that I really liked.
Any you hated, or was that all of them?
No, I don't think I hated anything. It was just life passed you by and that was it. I went and that was it.
Any
I wouldn't have gone if I didn't.
Sport?
Sorry. Not really. I used to enjoy sport. I used to enjoy playing football and that, but I was never any good at it. So I didn't have any great interest in it. If anything, I was probably interested in woodwork.
Now, outside of school, you know, as you were growing up, did you have any big hobbies or like? Boy Scouts or just
I was in the Scouts, yes.
And we're interested in the Scouts because they've got a military link, certainly in the 20s, early in the 30s. What sort of Boy Scouts activities did you do?
Oh, we used to meet every, I can't remember now, it's too past the remembering. We used to meet every so often. We used to go down into a little hut down in Melton. I couldn't even remember where that was. And it just generally have a muck about it. It was all an extension of playtime for us. Learning knots and badges and all sorts of things like this. And
how military do you think it was?
None at all, as far as I was concerned. It was so little. It was certainly not in the area.
Not much drill then?
No, no. In fact, I can't ever remember having drill. But most,
what about camping out? Any
of that? Yeah, I used to love camping. I used to do a lot of camping on my own without the scouts, and then I used to go a lot with the scouts. We used to camp in fields up Melton Mowbray here quite often. It's good to take a tent out and stay two or three nights in a row till we run out of food and had to come back and get some.
Now, any other big hobbies, you know, interests or hobbies at home, you know, like some people are interested in aircraft, other people, you know, that sort of thing?
Not in earlier life, but then when the war started, you see, I...
Ah, right, so we'll come on to that, yeah. So now, well, you left school at 14, so that'd be 1938.
Yeah.
Now, what were you going to do? What did your dad want you to do? What did you want to do?
Dad wanted me to get a trade. That was the thing in those days. And I wanted to be an electrician. But I didn't make it. I went to be a baker instead.
Now, why not? Why didn't you make it?
Because there wasn't a job going. Straightforward. It was necessary to... Well, necessary is not really the thing. I started my first job. I went to a part-time job. I worked for a little firm called Reynolds in Cheapside in Melton Mowbray, who were a draper's. And I was errand boy for them in General Factotum. That was I went there before I went to school in the morning, went there in the evening, and I went there for a long while on Saturday. And that was that.
Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, I like that. That was quite nice. Two old dears, they used to treat you fine, and you get plenty of grub when you went up their house doing making the fires for them in the morning and that sort of thing. And yeah, so I didn't mind that at all. It's quite a nice little job.
That's the draper's, and then you left there to become a... What were you doing at the baker's? Were you learning to be a baker or an errand boy?
I started before I get to the baker's, because before that I then had a couple of odd jobs. I mean, this is all the detail. I went for a couple of odd jobs. I was a window cleaner for about 2 months. I didn't like that. I can't get falling off the ladders. That's true. The ladders, I wouldn't like that at all. And I went on to... a delivery van at Sharps in Melton. It's in Melton Mowbray now. It's Wilkinson's Hardware. It was a hardware store, and they had two vans that travelled all the way around the countryside and delivered paraffin, groceries and all of that around the local villages. In later life, I found that was extremely useful, because I know all the villages around Melton, where a lot of people just don't know them. I used to go around them with the van. I used to go around at regular intervals. I was there, or must have been there, till I was 15, 16, something like that. And then this opportunity had come to go in the bakehouse, and I went in the bakehouse, not as an accredited apprentice, but in the same way. I went there in Dickinson and Morris Bakehouse. Dickinson and Morris is still there, to be a baker. And I did very well at that. I thought
that was
very
1938
good.
When there was
about 1938. Yes, I wouldn't want to stick on the dates.
Before 39.
Well, it's before 39 because the
now,
war started.
What was the trade as a baker? What did you have to learn? Just briefly, I mean, not, you know. But
well, always like most of the trades that there were in those days, you were the washer-up boy. That was it, definite. But from there on, I mean, I had a Scotsman called Mr. Watson, who was an extremely He was a very strong disciplinarian, as all people were in those days. He was one of the last of the Victorians still knocking about. And he used to make sure you behaved yourself. But I was taught everything all the way through. I went through how to make pastry, cakes, pork pies, the whole lot. I went through the whole lot of this.
And you were enjoying it?
I liked the job, yeah. But I still inked for... I wanted to be an engineer more than that. I never had the help to be a baker. I didn't particularly like it. From the point of view of something I would want to do. Probably to put it in perspective, my favourite game was Meccano sets. but nevertheless, I did very well in that. This went on into wartime, of course. And during wartime, I got a City and Guilds from them. It's not anything I can prove I got a City and Guilds, because they stopped giving City and Guilds in wartime. You just took the exams and passed them with the supposed to be a credit that you could pick up after the war sort of thing, but I went in the Air Force before then, so didn't do it.
Now, let's look at the outbreak of war. What do you remember of the outbreak? What were you doing the day war broke out? to hear the broadcast, that kind of thing?
Oh, I can remember that exactly. Yes. the actual day that war broke out. Now, the day before that, my sister got married in Melton Mowbray on the... The third of September. Well, it was the second of September. We had a party there, and I was... all this war talk was going on and all the rest of it. War is lush, great about this. I know, war, let's have a war, great, lots of airplanes about. But I lay in bed on a Sunday morning and listened to the radio and heard then Mr. Chamberlain say, as from this moment, we are at war with Germany. I can remember that clearly to this day. And that's where I was. I was actually at home. And that's
what
it.
Did you think? I mean, you were the bang smack in the age it's going to be involved in.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was great. We're going to lick the arse off them, and that was it. It was no argument. I was totally and utterly patriotic, I was.
Did you think you'd be involved? I mean,
I was intending to be involved. I'd join the first thing I could do, and it's where dates could get mixed up here, so I don't remember the exact dates in it, but the first thing I did was join the ATC, Training Corps.
You joined that after the outbreak of war.
Yeah.
Now, tell me about where were they based? What
Mount Mowbray. We had, at the time, we had a firm called Peyton and Baldwin, so we're a wool manufacturer or wool knitting manufacturer, and they let us use one of their buildings for it. I actually joined the ATC again in the King's Road School in Mount Mowbray, and one of the head teachers there, I wouldn't say his head teacher, probably was headmaster, Mr. Berry. He was the CO, and we joined there on a Sunday morning. We all signed up there.
So you were in two ATCs. Hang on, you got me confused. You were in two ATCs.
No, this is where I actually joined the ATC. This is when I joined it. You say at this point I joined, you see. And that's the point I joined them at the school on a Sunday morning.
And what training did you do with them?
I trained as a wireless operator, Morse code and the rest of it.
Take me through that a bit. I mean, how far did they go with it?
Almost nothing, to be perfectly honest. They just didn't have the facilities. We learnt Morse code and we used to think it was great. We could get up to about 10 words a minute and that was it. Well, of course, it's totally and utterly useless. But nevertheless, it was the basis of it was.
Did you take to Morse code? You know, because some people can, some people can't.
Yes, I did. I think I could have got extremely well with Morse code if I'd have kept up with it, but I didn't. This was it. So I was in there. I used to play a lot of football and all sorts of things.
Any other things you learned with the wireless operator part of the training?
I've got one or two books upstairs I still used as wireless operator training, but they're very, very basic. There was very little here. Being honest, the ATC was of little technical training use. It got you into the idea of what it was. Spent most of the time doing drilling and that sort of thing.
And how did you take to drill? I don't suppose you'd ever done it much before.
No, I hadn't done it, but once again, I used to like it. It was like myself and my contemporaries at the time, we were all totally patriotic, and that was it. We were going
now,
to get into
like
this war.
What did you like about drill?
I don't know. I just liked it. It was possible. I don't really know. What do you like about things? No, why do you like chocolate?
Did you understand then, when you were 14, 15, did you understand the point of it?
Not really. No, it was just a good laugh.
And what else were you doing in the air training corps?
That was about it. I mean, you used to do first aid and all the little bits and pieces, but there was really, played table tennis, played a lot of table tennis.
It was a hobby as well. I mean, it was fun as well.
It was fun. Oh, it was fun all the time. There was never any serious.
Was it
any
airfields?
Yes. That was one of the great things about it. The first flight I ever took in an airfield was from Spitalgert in Grantham, which is now an army base.
So which one?
Spitalgate. It was an RAF flying training base. And it was an Oxford, the aircraft, I remember it quite clearly.
Tell me about it. That was your people hadn't flown then at all.
No.
What was that first flight like?
Great, I loved it. I wanted to be a pilot. No way I could have been, but...
Why couldn't you?
Eyesight. I wanted to go for air crew like everybody did. It was great. I mean, my cousins and one or two people like this, they went in contemporaries. But
so you really enjoyed the flight. Was there anything you didn't like about the flight in the Oxford? Because, you know, some people get airsick then.
No, I loved it. I couldn't get enough of it. I loved it.
Did you get many flights? Or was that
No. I got probably two or three. It's so long ago, I couldn't really quantify it. I don't know, but I know I flew in the Oxford several times. I flew in a Tiger Moth once.
What was that? I mean, that's a little, you know.
Yeah, well, it's just, you flew in anybody that you could get hold of. Well, I mean, if anybody could get a ride in, that was it. And we went, also, I went over to Bottisford Airfield in the other side of Meltmere. In fact, the airfield is still there. At least remains of it, and they had Manchester's but I flew to Manchester ever since that, and I found out Manchester's reputation. I thought how lucky it was to kill people. Manchester did
a big crash.
Yeah, they were underpowered Lancasters.
Anything else about the air training course? You know.
No, not really.
How long were you doing it? You joined in for, what, 39, well, you think, but not sure.
Again, you see, I couldn't be
sure. Were you in it until you signed up?
Yes.
Till 42.
If you really wanted to know the records, the ATC is still here, and they're still there, and I'm still on the list. I've still got my photograph. <It's> yeah. In fact, I've probably got a photograph of it upstairs. But, being... For dates, though, it's very, very difficult to remember.
Now let's look at that period. There's three years between when the war breaks out and when you sign up.
That's now, right.
What effects did the war have on your work as a baker? What I'm thinking about is things like rationing and things like that. I mean, I'm not sure.
Oh, yes, it made a terrific amount of difference because very soon rationing was in. And the man that taught me, Mr. Watson, he was an absolutely superb baker. He knew his stuff. He wasn't just a mixer of dough. And he used to think up all sorts of recipes. Things like, as a detail, you couldn't get fresh cream, or at least if you got fresh cream, very little of it. So he made an artificial cream. And this artificial cream he made up from marshmallows and all sorts of things like that. It was so good, you just get people come in the shop and argue that it wasn't fresh, it was fresh cream, it wasn't, you know, you must be swindling, you must be using stuff that you're not supposed to, it must be on the black market, because it's not fresh. And of course, the other big thing that I remember very clearly is when you bake a £2 loaf of bread, it had to be £2.25 weigh off the dough, so that then when it was always £2, so that the weights and measures didn't get you. I presume it's still the same nowadays, but they gradually cut that down so that you only weighed off £2 a dough, so that all the loaves in wartime were less than £2. The other thing is that white flour went out. You had to have, what was it called? There was a special name for it. National flour, which was not quite as brown as it is now, but it's brown. I reckon it's a damn sight better flour than what you get nowadays. And things like that, you weren't allowed to use icing. I learned how to ice cakes, wedding cakes and things like that, but not with icing. I can't work with icing. I don't know how to do it, but I've worked with chocolate. I make good chocolate cakes. And things of this nature, the reduction in rationing. I also remember, I could say this now without any problem because the guy's dead. He used to buy stuff on the black market. People used to shovel bags and big bags of sugar in the back of the bakehouse from the black market and things of this nature.
Now, the black market, what, I mean, were you much aware? You were a nipper then, still. Were you much aware of the black market?
No, other than in the bakehouse.
And it's just how he got some extra ingredients.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing that was about it as well is my dad kept pigs. Well, again, I've still got some of the paperwork from that all these years ago. You would buy a litter of pigs from the market on Melton Market, and you were supposed to, if you bought 12 pigs, you were supposed to put 12 pigs back into the pot for sale. Well, my dad used to kill a couple on the way through, and we ate them at home and for friends around, you see. And being honest, I mean, he could have got done at any time. I do remember this quite clearly, but nobody ever checked up. It's like looking for illegal immigrants now. Nobody bothers. So we got away. He used to keep us pretty well fed in that way. We used to grow garden vegetables. You had chickens and eggs, the odd pig here and there.
Would you get extra bread? I mean, being as you were there, I mean.
Extra is a bit hot. I used to get enough bread, but I never thought of it as being extra, you know. Who worked in the bakehouse, that was it, you know. Got a loaf, that was it. Took a loaf home.
Now, what about air raid precautions, things like that? I mean, was there in Melton Mowbray any sense of danger from when the war started?
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of it. I mean, I can remember clearly, again, God, I must have my bloody museum in my attic. I've still got my gas mask.
Well, tell me about the issue of the gas mask, because we're interested.
Right. Well, I can remember clearly how the air raid wardens came round, and I can't remember whether it was just before. No, it must have been just after, because they never went to town on it before the war. Where the air raid warden came round and gave us all gas masks. See, and I guys thought this was great, this gas mask blowing around, but the housekeeper that we had, she could not wear one. She went absolutely berserk. She couldn't keep it on, and in fact, they gave up. They just gave the gas mask and left it. So, fortunately, we never had any gas raids.
What about air raid shelters? I mean, were you given Anderson's here or?
No, we weren't given Anderson's in Melton at all, as far as I know. My dad built one under the stairs.
Tell me about. Well, how did he do it?
Well, my dad was not a carpenter, but he was a mattler. You know, metalled things up. He got a load of railway sleepers, and under in the houses in a lot of these terraced houses, in the middle of the house, the stairway goes up to the bedrooms, you know, up there, and under the stairway was a pantry. Well, he converted the pantry into an air raid shelter. It's got just these great big wooden sleepers there, and the wooden sleepers on top, and you used to go down in there when there's an air raid coming on. And that's it. When I left Beaver Street a few years ago, I think the blokes took it out now. It was still there. But
now, what about... were there any communal air raid shelters, or was it...
Only in the terms of probably in the town when it was there, but there was no communal air raid shelters for the locals. It was just not there. I know in Leicester they had Anderson shelters, because my sister had one there, but as far as I know, I don't ever remember an Anderson shelter in Melton, but I cannot say there weren't one. But it was not general policy to supplies. We were not supposed to be a target.
Now, were you a target? Were there any raids?
Yes, we...
Tell me about any... What German air raids do you remember?
Well, there weren't any German air raids as such. There was only odd bods. I mean, a couple of times they had a go at Howell Works, which you understand that was a steelworks up. That ass would be there. The one that I actually saw come down, or was around when it came down, once I heard it. Yes, I did hear it. I want to talk about it. It was at the bottom of Brook Street in Melton Mowbray. A house there, the house is still there. They dropped a bomb there, and he dropped it on that one and knocked the end house out. yeah, I'll tell you this one. It's against me. I was working in the bakehouse one morning. I'm pretty sure it was a Saturday morning, but that's immaterial. You could hear the plane going over, and we always used to reckon you could hear German aeroplanes because it went woo woo woo. And now I send fans a load of rubbish. It's not true. You think it is true, do you? Well, anyway, that's beside the point. It came over, and we heard this flipping range of bombs going off, bang. Well, it was in the bake, normal Saturday morning baking, and we heard the aircraft go over, and then we heard the bombs go. And at this particular time, I was mixing the yeast by hand in a bowl to make the bread, or buns or whatever it was. And I just did a panic run down the passage, down into the cellar of the flipping bakehouse, leaving a trail of yeast behind me. And of course, there's no need to tell you then that I've been taking out of the mick out of me for years over that, and I left this try to grapple on it. It was yeast. These are the sort of stupidities you think about. But that was the only. And there were one or two incidents where they dropped a stick of incendiaries in a place called Copley South over here. God, you'd be fed up with me telling you what I've got. I've still got one of the incendiaries in the bit in the. It's not the incendiary as such; it's the burnt out cap that's on the end of it in the garage. Yeah.
So these are what these are. They're not raised.
No, they're not raised. They're just isolated incidents.
Were they on their way to Leicester or something?
I don't know. I can't tell you. I can't tell you that. They were just odd German aircraft that
now,
came
were
out.
Were you ever part of any of the voluntary things, like the ARP or the? I know you're in the.
The ATC was. All our joining, and we did odd bits and pieces with the ATC. We did fire watching at places. And
now tell me about fire watching. I mean, how do you do it? What do you remember?
Be perfectly honest, I can't remember much about it. I know what we used to do because Peyton and Baldwin's had left of this, so we said, well, can you write? It was only something to make us get into the war, I'm sure about it. And we used to go down there and do fire watching there. Didn't mean anything. We just stood there and scoffed tea or lemonade or whatever we could scrounge and stayed there. And we never had any occasion because there was nothing to firewatch.
Did you
never
have
got anything
else. Did you have the stirrup?
Oh, there was a stirrup pump and a bucket of sand and that sort of thing, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Had you had any training? I mean,
no.
Or practice with that?
No. Not with the live one, no.
Now, anything else about your time? You're just working in the bakery, you know. You're doing the ATC air training course.
Yeah.
Anything else about those three or four years? Anything happening or stories you remember?
No, life in Melton was changed very little. Rationing was a difference, but I can't remember ever being short of food. But that was probably because of my dad, who made sure we weren't short of food. That was it, you know. And the fact that I worked in the bakehouse, it was just one of those things. That I can never ever remember any real hardships at all in it.
So, the next thing then is, was we move to when you're sort of going to be called up a volunteer.
Well,
one or the other, you know.
There was absolutely never any doubt. I volunteered for the Air Force as soon as I could get into it.
So you didn't wait?
Oh, no.
At all.
I volunteered when I was 17.
Now, just explain. I'm not saying that it wasn't the right thing to do. What I mean is, could you just explain what was going through your head when you decided to volunteer?
Yeah. I was British, and I was absolutely 100% British, and there was no way I was going to stay out of this. That's it.
Now, how did you go about volunteering? Because you volunteer, well, you go to Cardington in December 1942. Is that when you volunteered as well?
No, that was a volunteer. But I volunteered, and I honestly cannot tell you where I volunteered or anything at all. I don't remember the process.
Medical,
I just volunteered. Oh, I remember the medical, but that was a little bit further along the line. The actual volunteering, I was volunteered in. Oh, yeah, when I was 17, around about middle of the year, about August, and they accepted the fact I was volunteering. I never heard anything more about it for a little while, and then I was sent to Overscroft Road in Leicester. I remember this quite clearly, and had the medical.
Now, what do you remember of the medical? How strict was it?
It was very strict because I finished out as grade two, because I wasn't fit enough.
Devastated. What have they identified as being wrong with you?
I just was. Okay, to start with, my eyesight wasn't good, but that doesn't make you grade two. I was a bit weedy. That's it. I just wasn't very, very. I was not very muscular. It's changed that when I got in the Air Force. So
that's the next stage, the medical.
So I had the medical, passed the medical, and then stood by waiting until my birthday is on the 28th of November. And on the 26th of November, I got the call up to go to Cardington.